All right, praise God. Let's jump right into it. Let's take our Bibles and let's go back to an area that we left off on last night. I think it'd be good just to kind of pick up towards the end there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll go to chapter 2 in a moment, as the outline says there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse 7 again. Remember, last night we established the reality of fresh anointing, didn't we? Remember the psalmist said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Everybody say, fresh oil. See, that's really what we need to do. We need to learn to walk in that fresh dimension, not just living off what we got yesteryear. But we saw that fresh oil is located, that fresh anointing is in your spirit, and you've got to learn to manifest. Everybody say manifest. See, we located the anointing. It says in 1 John 2:27, and I'm reviewing a little bit here. He says, "The anointing which you have received." Everybody say, "I have received it." So you got to start there. Don't start chasing rabbits. Say, "I got to go get the anointing. I got to pray for the anointing. I hope the anointing will come. I hope the anointing will show up." If you show up, the anointing showed up. Now, whether you manifested or not, that's a different question. But if you've showed up, the anointing has showed up, praise God. And so the anointing is in you, but you've got to learn to manifest it. Look at verse 7 here. Chapter 12, verse 7. "But the manifestation," circle that word if you didn't do it last night, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to do something." Everybody say, "to profit." See, that when you learn to manifest the Spirit, which is the anointing, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He hath anointed me." Remember that. So the anointing and the Holy Spirit really are one and the same. When that Holy Spirit is released, He goes forth to do what? Set the captives free, heal the brokenhearted, you see, etc., etc. Bring the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the year of release. But it's got to be manifested. Manifested. What is manifestation? We said last night, and it's so important, it's a pivotal point before we can go any further. We said last night that the manifestation means something that is made apparent to your senses. Something that becomes apparent to your senses. So that anointing is in there, but your brain just may not be aware of it. Hello? See, the anointing's in there, but your brain may not be aware of it. How many of you believe the Holy Ghost knows more than your brain knows? All right. Well, then the Holy Spirit knows how to handle that situation. The Holy Spirit knows how to conquer that problem. The Holy Spirit knows how to reach that person that seems hard. You know, it's interesting how we talk about some people. It's really going to take God to get them saved. You ever heard people talk like that? Well, it takes God to get everybody saved, doesn't it? But you know, we hear people, "Oh, it's really going to take God to get them saved." Well, see, the Holy Spirit knows the strategy, the approach to reach that person. But your brain may not yet be aware of it. So it's not something you've got to go get. It's something you've got to learn to yield to and manifest. That percolator process that we were talking about, where it comes up and hits your brain goes, "Oh, I see now what to do." You believe it, and then you begin to act on it. And that is the manifestation or the release of the anointing. Every gift of the Spirit is like this, whether it's tongue, interpretation of tongue, prophecy, whether it's word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, a working of miracles, gift of faith, etc. In other words, everything is in you. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got everything the Holy Ghost has. Amen? So it's simply learning to yield and be sensitive in your soulish realm to that which is already in you. And that's what we're going to be teaching on all day today. But by the time you leave today, you will. I know by the Spirit of God, I can guarantee by the Spirit of God, you're going to know how to walk out and manifest the anointing, whether it's in Wendy's or in church. You know, some people think the Holy Ghost only shows up in church. I tell you, the Holy Ghost, he really wants to do the greatest miracles out there on the streets. He wants to do the greatest miracles out there in the shopping centers and at the malls. So you don't have to carry on and act like a nut to have it happen, praise God. You simply learn how to manifest. Now go to chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I've given you the outline. Some of you walked in a little late here. You've got a set of outlines in your packet that we're following pretty closely here. And session number 1, demonstration or manifestation of the Holy Spirit and power. Folks, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I have come to believe, is one of the most important chapters in all the Bible on teaching people how to actually operate in this anointing. You know, for years I read chapter 2 and I just didn't see it. Now all of a sudden, praise God, I saw it. Chapter 2, Paul tells us the mechanics. Everybody say the mechanics. Yeah. See, if you'll let me use that phrase. He teaches us the mechanics or the nuts and bolts on how he brought the demonstration of the Spirit and the power to this group. Verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom." In other words, I didn't simply come depending on that. I mean, I'm sure he was a good speaker at times, but he said, "I didn't depend on that. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now, we know from historical records and even the biblical record that Paul was a highly academic person. But he said, you know, I made my mind up when I came that I wasn't going to trust in my human wisdom and my abilities to, you know, be a great orator. I was going to come and trust in one thing. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him resurrected, and in the Holy Spirit. And I was going to depend on my impact coming from the Spirit of God and not from the human intellect. That's very important. Because if you want to change people's lives, you've got to depend upon Jesus and the Spirit. All right, let's go on. Verse 3. He says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Now, I want you to mark this in verse 4. Put it in yellow, put it in pink, put it in all those fluorescent colors. "But in the demonstration of the Spirit and power." Now, circle the word demonstration there, because that word is very analogous to our other word, manifestation. In other words, you manifest it or you demonstrate it. See, it's one thing to tell people you've got the Holy Ghost. It's another thing for them to see some visible evidence of the Holy Spirit. It may be something as simple as they say something cruel to you and you respond with love. Well, that's a demonstration of the Holy Spirit, because most people would knock them upside the head. Amen? You know, I mean, somebody treats you cruel, the world teaches what? Slap them back. But you respond in love, and, you know, that's a demonstration. But it can also be something as powerful as a healing, or a word of knowledge over someone, or a word in due season, you see, that the Holy Spirit would bring, that's a demonstration. It's one thing to say, "Well, I've got the Holy Ghost," another thing to demonstrate or manifest His presence and His power. So Paul said, "But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? Look at verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men," mark it again, "but in the power of God." Now, folks, I'll just tell you, there is a difference between Christians who have never seen miracles and Christians who have. I mean, they're both going to heaven. If they believe in Jesus, they're both going to heaven. But I've noticed in my years, there's a difference in Christians between those who have seen some visible demonstration or manifestation of the Spirit and those who have never seen it. Those who have never seen it, they have a faith that is a mental assent. In other words, they just kind of believe theory. But those who've actually seen God at work somehow in their lives, I tell you, they have an unshakable faith because they know God is alive. They've seen something that proves to them outwardly that there is a God. And he says, "I want you to have that kind of faith. I want you to have the kind of faith that rests in something that you've seen and experienced, an experiential faith and not just a mental assent faith," you see. And so I've heard people say, "Well, we don't need to teach people to have an experience." Yes, we do. Christianity is an experience, praise God. Amen. An experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And then the power gifts. You see, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's an experience. And once you experience it, nobody can take that from you. It's not saying you won't have a bad day and up and down once in a while, but nobody can shake you from that. Now let's go on to the nuts and bolts part. Verse 6, he says, "However, we do speak wisdom among them that are mature or perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." What was that wisdom? Look at verse 8. "Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it," look at verse 8, "for had they known it, they would have not," look at this, "they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Did you know the devil, if he had known what was going to happen 3 days later, do you know he would have never crucified Jesus? He would have just left him alone and said, "Well, you know, we'll just have to live with one of them," instead of having this guy rise from the dead and pour his spirit out on a million of them. See, because now he's got millions of us to deal with, praise God, that have the anointing abiding in us. But I tell you, the devil just absolutely wouldn't have done it. Now, you know, the devil's not totally stupid, but he's not totally smart either, is he? Amen. That tells me a little bit. You know, he doesn't know everything, praise God. He didn't understand what Jesus was up to. You didn't understand it at all. See, Jesus was up. What was Jesus up to? Jesus was up to, number one, by His blood forever cleansing your human spirit. And number two, forever pouring out the Holy Spirit of God that could join and fuse to your human spirit and that anointing abide in you. And then every believer learning how to manifest or demonstrate that anointing, so the devil's all of a sudden got me and something to deal with. Praise God. You know, the devil would have never done it. The devil would have just said, we'll just have to live with this one guy, you know, and just take him as he is. But he never would have done it. I tell you, the devil was excited on that day when they crucified Jesus. I believe with all my heart the devil just dancing around. He was. They were having a party in hell. It was party time. I mean, demon number 101 and number 102, they were talking together. They were snickering. Can you believe it? Can you believe what the boss did? We even got Caiaphas a gift. The high priest of his own religion voted against it. Can you believe it? It's great. It's great. It's great. Oh, it was party time, and as Jesus, you know, was hanging on that cross, they thought, man, this is it. 3 days later, they changed their tune. Amen. Jesus rose from the dead, and it says when He ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. See, when He rose up, in fulfillment of Genesis, it says that He crushed the head of the serpent. Do you remember that prophecy? He slapped the devil to the ground and stomped him on the head with his heel. That's basically what He did. And when He did that, He snatched some things. He said, I'll take back the healing that you took. I'll take back the relationship with Father God that you took. I'll just take back everything you stole from Adam and Eve. And I'll rise up in glory. When He rose up, He didn't keep it to Himself. It says He gave gifts unto men. He threw them back to us, praise God. And He said, here, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. And then He poured out the Holy Spirit of God. Now, Paul says, when I came in the demonstration of this. I demonstrated it. I manifested it. I brought it forth. That anointing was not locked up in me. You saw the anointing operate through my life. That is the Spirit of God and the power of God. Now, look what he says here in beginning with verse 9. The first thing, if you want to learn how to manifest the anointing, is you've got to realize that the miracles and the things that you're after to really change people's lives are not going to come through the natural senses. Look at verse 9. He says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Would you mark that, the things? Everybody say the things.
The things.
Everybody say, I'll take them.
For my life.
You see, God's got some things prepared. I mean, they're just waiting. They're up there, you know, in the warehouse waiting for you to get them. Praise God. How are you going to get them? He says, you're not going to get them through the natural process. Your brain is not smart enough. No matter how many degrees you have, your brain is not smart enough. Your eye cannot see it. Your ear cannot hear it. We're talking about the natural senses. But he's going on. What he's leading up to is, if you'll let the Spirit of God that is joined to your human spirit percolate up and manifest, that is, make it apparent to your natural senses, then you can believe on it and act on it and see the manifestation or the demonstration of the Spirit and power. So it's really just a little three-step process. The Holy Spirit communicates to your spirit. Your spirit comes up here and hits your brain. Your brain at that point either believes it or not, and if you believe it, then you act on it, and you are seeing the simple process of the manifestation of the anointing of God, that is, how to release the anointing on people and situations in life. Are you learning something?
Amen.
All right. Verse 10. See, these things are ready, but you're not going to get them by the natural process. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Now, would you circle the phrase His Spirit? Because in a moment you're going to see another Spirit mentioned here. We've got His Spirit, but in a moment you're going to see another Spirit mentioned. It's very important for our study. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit, or His Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now look at verse 11 closely. For what man knoweth the things, or I like rather saying the thoughts. One version says the thoughts. Does anybody have the New American Standard here? Does the New American Standard say thoughts? I like that better. For what man knows the thoughts of a man, save, here's the other spirit, mark it, the spirit of man. Oh, you ought to mark that now, because that's not the Holy Spirit, that's the spirit of man. And so in our study, you must understand, if you're a believer, you've got two spirits on board, which are really joined together as one spirit. But see, I'm still me. See, I'm still me. When I go to glory, I'm not just going to be a nebulous zombie walking around that looks like all the others. I'm going to be Jason Peebles. But see, I'll have my resurrected body, you'll have your resurrected body, but we'll identify one another. We'll know one another. Praise God. He's left us, you see. I'm Jason Peebles. I'll always be Jason Peebles. You'll be Gary Stokes, you see. But you'll have the Holy Spirit on board, praise God, forever and ever. Everybody say forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
Hallelujah. Verse 11. For what man knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, and here we come back to the Spirit of God now, even so the thoughts of God. Everybody say the thoughts. Now the King James says things there, but I want you to write in your margin thoughts, because he's getting over into another realm. See, we've been talking about the spirit of man. We've been talking about the Spirit of God. Now we're talking about thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. See, you've got your thoughts and God's got His thoughts. Amen? And your thoughts are not His thoughts. His thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. His thoughts know more than your thoughts know. Hallelujah. Did you get all that? Praise God. I think I got it. Did you get that in your thought life? All right. Verse 11. Even so, the thoughts of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Would you circle the phrase might know? See, you don't know it yet, but you might know it. See, a lot of people, they go back to verse 10. Praise God, He hath revealed them to us by the Spirit. I just claim that. Well, and they really don't, you know. See, Paul had it revealed to him. But look at the tense down in verse 12, that we might know. Everybody say might know. See, praise God, the Spirit has revealed it to the apostles, and the apostles have recorded it, but there's things that aren't in here. How many of you know when you go to buy a car, you know, it's hard to find First Ford chapter 3, First Chevy, First Cadillac, oh yeah, First Cadillac, you know. Or when you go to look for a job, you know, you've got to have something beyond this, amen? That's going to come by the Spirit. Are you following me? You know, you might find that section called J-O-B. You think that's jobs, you know, but that's not jobs. You'll soon find out. If you read that, you don't want that job, praise God. You know. But let's just pause here now. I want to take this real slow. That's one of the advantages of this type of format. Put your hands back up, like last night. Everybody say my right hand. Represents my human spirit. All right, now make it dead. Everybody say my left hand. Represents the Holy Spirit of God. Now see, when you believed in Jesus and you had faith in Jesus, they joined up. Link your fingers together. And all of a sudden your spirit became alive unto God. He that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's what the Bible calls the new nature or the new man. What does this mean? This means that you have everything that God is and has. If you've got the Holy Spirit, does it make sense that you have the fruit of the Spirit? Sure you do. It's in there. Well, I feel grouchy. Well, we'll get your brain straightened out here in a minute. See? But we're talking about spirit now. Your spirit has been made right, praise God. Your spirit has been linked unto God. Well, if you've got the Holy Spirit of God, does it make sense that you have the gifts of the Spirit of God in you? Yes, you certainly do. And like it said in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation, it's simply you learn how to manifest. Now, certainly Jesus will specialize some people and others in certain gifts more than other ones, but you have all of them on board. You've got everything that God has and is, because God's living in you, joined to your spirit. Now he says the process is this. We have received the Spirit of God, not the spirit of the world, that we might know. See, it's got to come from the spirit realm up to here. Once you know it, praise God, and it becomes apparent unto your senses, then you can begin to speak on it and act on it and move on it and see the manifestation of the anointing go forth. Am I making sense? Hold your finger here and go with me. I believe it's over to chapter 6, just right next door. Hang a right. Right in the middle, right smack dab in the middle of, you know, rebuking them about fornication and everything. He gives a good verse 17, that I think ties into our study. It says, he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. You ought to mark that. Verse 17, chapter 6, verse 17. He that's joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. Everybody say one spirit.
One spirit.
So, see, the Holy Spirit and your spirit have linked up together. Now, let me just give you a story to try to illustrate this process. That we've been talking about the mechanics. Let's throw it into the real life situation. A number of years ago, Martha and I were invited to do a youth type of retreat, you know, where you're going to work with young people. Now, that's some of the most rugged ministry you'll ever do. you take some 18, you know, 17, 16, 18, 19-year-old rebellious, hardcore kids. Now, they really don't want to be there. Their mama sent them to the camp, you know. And you're supposed to get up there and have breakthrough ministry. And so I studied, I prayed, you know, boy, I just did everything I knew how to do. I was getting nowhere. I mean, zip. I was so discouraged, you know, and I'm the kind of guy. See, I've got a teaching, there's a specific teaching anointing that's in me and on me. I mean, I just love to teach. I mean, you just put me in front of a mirror, I'll teach, praise God, you know. I mean, it just comes out of me. I mean, and if I don't watch it, I'll just absolutely teach people into a comatose situation. I mean, I can teach till midnight and just keep going, you know. I mean, it just kind of flows. And so I was going through my material with these young people, but they would sit in there. There was one guy that controlled the whole group. His name was Billy. I mean, doesn't that sound, it just kind of sounds that way, you know, Billy, tough Billy. And Billy, I'm not making a good story, you know, this is true. Billy, he had beach blonde hair, looked like a surfer, you know, had one of those black members only jackets, you know, and he would sit in the back, just kind of defiant, leaning, you know, his chair up against the wall, and just sit there and look at me like this. And every once in a while, he'd just nod off sleeping. And all the other young people, see, he was the cool guy. And so all the other young people took their cue off of him. I have to confess, I didn't have the love of God manifesting through me for Billy. I wanted to wring the guy's neck. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, you know, after about three or four sessions, they weren't listening, and here I'd come down there, and this isn't part-time stuff for me. This is what I'm giving my life to, you know. My idea of a good conference, you know, is staying in the Hilton or something. Here we are at a camp, you know, swatting mosquitoes, you know, and trying to believe God for these young people. And finally, you just get to the point, well, go to hell then, you know. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. I know that y'all would be a lot more spiritual than I was, but... And so I wanted to put him on the bus and send him home. I wanted to maybe make it look like an accident, drowned him, anything, you know, to get rid of Billy. And so it came down to the last session, and I had gotten nowhere. And I knew I'd gotten nowhere, and I was just talking. I was mad. Y'all ever been mad? You know, you'd say, well, who are you mad at? You're really mad at yourself, but, you know, you kind of talk mad to God and talk mad to the devil and talk mad to your wife and just anybody that comes, you know, the fly, talk mad. I'm going to kill that fly because that fly represents Billy. We're talking about, you know, how to release the anointing, how to release the anointing. Honey, it hadn't released in this meeting. It had not released in this meeting. And I said, Lord... I said, I just feel like going home. I don't even want to stay for this last meeting. And the Lord said, would you like to have breakthrough? Would you like to have the anointing show up? I said, I sure would. I said, but Lord, my brain just doesn't know what to do. I've done everything. I've done everything. I don't know what to do. He said, I'll tell you what to do. I said, all right, you tell me what to do. He said, go out there in the last session. And Martha and I were there, and then there was another couple that was helping with the worship, Dennis and Natalie Williams. And the four of you just stand in front of the young people and just begin to sing unto me. I said, Lord, I said, don't make me go out there and sing in front of those people. I said, have you ever just had people look at you? I mean, they were not going to participate. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that. He said, just go out there and begin to worship me, and I'll begin to move. I said, Lord, I just don't think that's going to work. He says, well, everything you've been thinking of, has it been working? I said, no, sir. And I said, all right. So I told the group, you know, what we were going to do. See, this was knowledge that had come from the Holy Spirit and my spirit into my brain. Now, either you believe, I believe, therefore I spoke. That's the spirit of faith. I believe, therefore I spoke. I believe, therefore I acted. Or you quench it. If you quench it, you will not see the manifestation of the anointing that the Spirit's trying to bring forth. To do what? Heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of release, good tidings, etc., etc. To these young people who they needed something that they didn't know they needed. So we went out there and we did it. And I tell you, it was awful about the first 5 minutes. I mean, we were just standing there just singing to God. It was just like, you know, the four of us were, you know, in a hole somewhere. And they were just sitting there, and Billy was just back there like, And, you know, when I first started worshiping, I think, oh, God, send down a lightning bolt on Billy. But, you know, after a while, you just kind of got to the point, who cares?
Amen.
Sometimes you need to get to the point of what I call the Holy Ghost, I don't cares. I mean, it didn't matter if they were upset. It didn't matter if they thought we were crazy. I mean, it was like, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I just like to irritate them. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just act crazy. Just irritate them, you know. And what happened? Now, here's what happened. Because, see, the Lord didn't tell me everything that was going to happen. The Lord just said, go out there and do this and you'll see results. Well, you know, my brain, well, what am I going to see, Lord? No, you just go do what I said and you'll see results, see. That's as far as it went. So you have to have faith. And if you know, the Lord always leads in the realm of faith. And all of a sudden, one young girl across here started crying and weeping. The Spirit of God had just come from that worship onto her. I went over there. I laid hands on her. I began to prophesy over her. The secrets of her heart were made manifest. She got gloriously ministered to. Before I was through with her, another person across here, a young person, the same thing. It was like popcorn started happening. The Spirit of God was just being released on the people. I went over there and ministered, led several to the Lord, and all of a sudden Billy stood up and he was getting nervous. He was getting nervous. And really, still at that point, I thought, I'm going to prophesy over everybody but Billy, praise God. That'll be his punishment. Hallelujah. And so I was going around, you know, ministering. And all of a sudden, I can't tell you how the word of knowledge operates other than it's just a flash. In a moment, you'll just see pieces, not everything, but pieces of information. All of a sudden, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about Billy. And I saw Billy's background. All of a sudden, in my mind, I just knew. See, word of knowledge is something you just know. All of a sudden, I just knew that Billy had grown up in a bad family situation. You know, his dad wasn't around and didn't have much money. And all of a sudden, I could see why he was so tough. And that took away all the hatred, all the problems that I had with Billy were gone, because all of a sudden, I saw where he was coming from. And I went back to Billy with that information. See, one piece of information is going to lead to another piece of information. Start out with worship, minister to those, and then all of a sudden there, I went back to Billy, and I went back with such confidence and such compassion, I was almost crying myself for him. It was the compassion of God in me. And I said, Billy, I want to minister to you. And I laid hands on him, and he had that just old tough beach. He looked like a surfer, you know, one of those surfer guys, just real rugged looking guy. And just, you know, he didn't want me to pray for him. And I prayed for him, and I began to prophesy and speak. And all of a sudden, he broke. And I tell you, he began to weep. He got saved. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost and called him to the ministry right there. And then Billy was on my side, see. And so there were still some guys out there that... And then Billy was going with me, praise God. And I'd say, let me pray for you. Billy would walk into him, get on your knees. You know, they'd get on their knees because Billy was the king guy, you know, in the whole place. So I tell that story to illustrate in a very vivid way about the demonstration of the Spirit and the power and how to manifest the anointing. You know, I came to the end of myself. My eyes, my ears, my brain absolutely did not know what to do. I did not know how to conquer this thing. I was frustrated, to say the least. But the Spirit of God, that we might know. Let's look at this verse again. You see, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Mark it. That we might know. That's a mental function. See? You got your spirit, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you got a mental function here. That we might know. Everybody say no. So that's your brain we're talking about. That you might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given to us of God. Now verse 13, I want you to circle it. We're going to spend some time on verse 13. Most of you probably have the King James Bible. The King James in this verse really misses it. The New American Standard just absolutely nails it, praise God. Now let's read what the King James says, and then I want to give you a couple of changes here that really are more accurate. Look at verse 13, because in verse 13 is the key on how to manifest the anointing. He says in verse 13, which things also we what? Speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. Now mark this, mark it. But which the Holy Spirit teaches. Now the King James says comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Let me tell you what the New American says. Write it in your margin. The New American says, instead of the word comparing, it says combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Write it again. Write it in your notes again. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Are you beginning to see something here? Here's the process. The Holy Spirit that is in you. Everybody say in me. Let's say it together. The anointing. Well, we can do better than that, even though it's early. The anointing, abides in me. All right, now that's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to teach your brain or impress your brain with some thoughts. Thoughts. Just simple thoughts. Now, at that point, you've got to combine that spiritual thought with some words or actions. That's the trigger that releases the anointing out there. Remember what we're studying here. Go back to the first part of this chapter. Paul says, look at verse 4. Verse 4. He says, I came in the demonstration or the manifestation of the Spirit of power. Now, beginning with about verse 9, 10, 11, he tells them exactly how to do that. He says, you're not going to get it. In other words, eye can't get it, ear can't get it, your natural brain can't get it. It's something that's going to come by the Spirit that is joined to your spirit. And that Holy Spirit that's in you with your spirit wants to teach your brain some thoughts, and then it's up to you to combine. Everybody say combine. See, to combine that spiritual thought with either spiritual words or spiritual actions. Now, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things or the thoughts of the Spirit of God. See, the person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them, all this stuff that we're talking about seems absolutely foolish. They just say, you know, I don't understand what makes him tick. You know, I don't know what motivates him. I don't know how. You know, it just seems stupid to me. That's what it says here. But the natural man receives not the things or the thoughts of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now mark verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged by no man. What does this mean? A person who's walking like we're teaching about. A person who is walking by the Spirit or in that realm of the anointing, they approach everything in life trying to discern and judge by the thoughts of the Spirit about it instead of by their natural tendencies. Are you following me? And so their decisions, whether it's a business decision, whether it's a family decision, who do I marry, who do I date, you know, what career do I go in, do I go in the ministry, am I supposed to be a pastor, evangelist, you know, what am I supposed to do? They're depending on the Spirit. They are approaching life by the thoughts of the Spirit in their life, and they're going to combine those thoughts with spiritual actions and words. But a person who's looking at them can't figure them out. Yet he himself is judged of no man. They cannot discern what makes Jason Peebles tick. I don't understand what makes him tick. I cannot discern or figure out what makes him operate. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit. Tell you about my $100,000 miracle. Want to hear about a $100,000 miracle? Praise God. You know, don't say, well, you don't need $100,000. You wouldn't mind having one, would you? Praise God. $100,000 miracle. Many of you know Steve and Eileen Schultz. Let's see. Some of you don't. Okay. Many of you do. Steve and Eileen Schultz. Wonderful, wonderful people. I met Steve, oh golly, how long has it been? 3.5 years ago? Maybe close to 4 even, when I actually first met him. In Fort Myers, Florida. I went to a church service. I was speaking at this church service. Steve was the associate in this church. And that whole church was about as big as these rows. That's how many people were there. They had a full-time pastor. Steve was full-time and 2 full-time secretaries. Kind of overstaffed. This big. And honestly, I'll tell you, you can miss miracles by going by the natural. You can miss that anointing going by the natural. I went there and I was discouraged. I remember talking to Martha. She probably didn't remember this. I remember laying on the bed in my hotel, discouraged. I said, man, I didn't know this church was so small, honey. I said, come all the way down here to Fort Myers, and this is a tiny church. And the pastor asked me, what's the normal? Am I supposed to pay for your room, or are you supposed to pay for it? here I come all the way down there, and he's asking me, you know, if I'm supposed to pay for my room. Well, yeah, I'll give you an offering, too. Would you like me to give you an offering while I come from Atlanta? I'll give you the offering. I called up Martha. I said, I'm discouraged. I was walking by the natural. Little did I know that God had a $100,000 miracle in store. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, Steve helped me carry my boxes in, and I didn't know Steve. I didn't know Steve. He helped me carry my boxes in, and we went out to dinner that night, and that was it. You know, that was it. It never crossed my brain. Never crossed my brain at that time that in any way or fashion, Steve and I would be working together. And so, a few months later, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, something like that, maybe, I was praying about my problem of needing a missions director. We had started our missionary program from nothing, absolutely nothing. In fact, this Christ Fellowship gave us our first computer for this missions program. And Gary's one of the missionaries, and I forgot to mention Peggy North. Praise God, I didn't even see her last time. I apologize, Peggy. But Peggy is a missionary over in Europe, and we help her. And we've got 40-some-odd families that we help this way, do all their office work for them. Do you all appreciate what we do? I know you do. We send them reports. We put the money in the bank, send out the letters for them, et cetera, et cetera. But at that time, we had about 3 missionaries. And, you know, it's impossible for me to travel, do the preaching, raise the money, come home, you can't do everything. Amen? So I said, Lord, I need a missions director. Just one problem. No money. You ever had that problem? Have you ever had the problem of a great vision but no money? A great desire for something but no money? Has anybody ever had that problem? I'm the only one. You know, and sometimes you tend to kind of chew God out about it, don't you? God, Jesus, I know that you've been gone a while. You don't understand. You know, it's 2,000 years. We have asphalt down here. You have gold streets. We have asphalt. It's asphalt down here. Could you just throw one of the manhole covers up there? Just, you know, a reject, a warped one, anything. Just throw it to me. You know? Am I the only one that thinks this way? What time is this session supposed to go to? Look on the card. And so, you know, I was driving. What time do we go to? 10:30. All right, we're getting ready to wind it up after this story. I was driving to my office that morning, and I said, Lord, I need a missions director. I don't have any money. And the Lord said, pray in tongues. I said, Lord, I'll pray in tongues later. Because I could see the office. I was half a mile from the office entrance. And I said, I can pray in tongues later about it. He said, no pray in tongues now. Everybody say combining.
Combining.
A spiritual thought.
Spiritual thought.
With actions.
Action.
All right, as I prayed in tongues, all of a sudden the Lord brought into my consciousness, write a letter to Steve Schultz today and invite him to be your missions director and to pay his own way. I said, Lord, that'll go over really great. I said, first of all, really, honestly, I had to stop and think, who's Steve Schultz? Steve Schultz. Oh, that guy. That was the hardest letter I ever wrote. I mean, can you imagine writing the letter? I've got a great idea. Come work for me. Pay your own way. Do you get the witness? And so, I really, in my mind, I said, I'll just call Steve up on the phone, and he can say no quicker. I mean, why do the letter process? The Lord said, no, write the letter today. So I wrote that letter, and it was honestly a very difficult letter to write. My first sentence, honestly, in the letter was, Dear Steve, do you remember me? I mean, I didn't know if he remembered me or not. I was there on such a date. And so I finally put up something. I put it in the mail. What I did not know, and what the Spirit of God knows. See, the Spirit of God is smarter than your brain. And we're talking about the release of the anointing, the manifestation of the Spirit for miracles and for the power of God to go forth. $100,000 miracle. What I did not know is that the very day that my letter came into the P.O. box or his home box there, the pastor had called Steve in. Steve was just newly married at that time. And said, Steve, we got a problem. Of course, Steve already knew it. He said, you know, the pastor said, you have done a great job. You're a great guy. Everybody here loves you. I love you. But we just don't have enough money for as many people as I've hired. I made a mistake. And this will be your last week. Now, how would you handle that? Most people would get bitter.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles, and I wanted to jump in on the end of this cassette tape and finish that story. So I'm in the studio recording the final part of this message. The master tape did not pick up the conclusion of that story, and I think it's such a great illustration of how the Spirit of God can move through the simple process of manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. That story, we left it off where Steve is there in the office. My letter had been sent, and the timing of God was perfect. Steve did not become bitter. He became better, praise God. And he stood up in that pastor's office, and he said, "I don't know what God's doing, but I know that God is going to take care of my situation, and I trust in Him." And so he went home that day, and my letter, guess whose letter was in the box? Perfect timing. My letter was in the box. Steve opened that letter. The Spirit of God bore witness with his spirit. He prayed about it. He told me later that he checked with people who moved in the gifts of the Spirit and got confirmation. He came up to Atlanta. We talked. We went about it in a very efficient, normal manner, asking the questions that need to be asked, looking over the area, praying. And he began to feel a total peace of God. Well, to make a long story short, Steve has been with us for just a three-year period, just over 3 years, working as our missions director. He went back to Fort Myers, where he's from, after our initial conversation. God put him in touch with businessmen, key people in the area, a supernatural relationship with a pastor he did not know prior to that time. And God provided Steve and Eileen, while they've been here, a salary in the neighborhood of $30,000 a year to take care of he and his wife, and now they've got two children. So that's why I call it the $100,000 miracle, but really the miracle is much greater than that. The miracle that we had is a miracle of relationship, a miracle of a missionary program being taken from a handful of missionaries up to what it is now, over 40 families, people in Africa. We've got families, full-time missionaries now, in Africa, Asia, the Philippines, Europe, Central and South America, the islands of the sea, literally all over, who look to our office as their home office. We do all of their bookkeeping, all of their receipting, put their money in their bank. In other words, we do a great deal for them every month that must be taken care of when you're a missionary on the foreign field. And a great deal of that credit goes to Steve Schultz. But you know, I look back on that, and it goes back to just a short time. On my way to the office one day of praying in the Spirit and interpreting, letting the Spirit of God manifest. You see, that's the key, manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit man knows, because my Spirit man is attached to the Holy Spirit of God. They know what to do. The Spirit man knows, because my Spirit man is attached to the Holy Spirit of God. They know what to do. And I want to encourage you, and that's why I wanted to take the time to jump in the studio here on the end of this tape. I want to encourage you, don't limit your life or your situation by what you don't have. You see, I didn't have the money that it was going to take to have a missions director. And I'm so glad that I didn't limit myself to that. That was a fact, but that's not the highest fact, praise God. What we need to do is we need to train ourselves to let the spirit man that's in us manifest up into our soulish realm. That's into our mind, our will, and our emotions. And we begin to do that by speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts unto the Lord. Surround your mind with psalms. Surround your mind with hymns. Surround your mind with spirit songs. You know, it says spiritual songs there in Ephesians 5:19. It's not talking about, you know, just anything that sounds spiritual. A spiritual song is a song of the Spirit. And so you can do that and practice that in your life, beginning to speak in tongues, sing in tongues, and then train yourself to interpret. Be sensitive in your mind to a scripture that comes into your mind. That's the Holy Spirit trying to talk to you. Train your mind to be sensitive to a word or a phrase that comes right after you've prayed or sang in the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit trying to communicate. And then step out in faith and put verbiage to it. Begin to speak to yourself, "My son, my daughter, don't be discouraged. Go forward. You're going to conquer this mountain. It'll not hold you back. I am your shepherd. I shall lead you to green pastures. You shall not want." You know, begin to let the Word of God flow over your mouth. And that becomes the voice of God to you. So I encourage you with Ephesians 5:19. That's what I want to conclude this session. And we'll come back to this scripture in later sessions in this series. But Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know what that does? It creates an atmosphere that's conducive for revelation knowledge to flow into your life, just like it did in my life. And it'll be a blessing to you. It has blessed me. It's blessed Steve. It's blessed countless missionaries. And then hundreds and hundreds of people that the missionaries have in turn reached have been blessed. So it goes back to a moment in time, just a short time of praying in the Spirit and then interpreting and acting on that which God showed me to do. God bless you. I love you. Keep us in your prayers. The next session will be exciting too. Bye-bye. Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number, the toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.